The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Here we are then, it's Monday, we've got Dame Shirley in the studio, we've got aged 70 plus, we've got Raphael in the studio, is it Raphael,
Raphael,
aged 16, plenty of attitude, which is what we are talking about today, because we have John Rushton on the line. Hi John.
Hello, good morning Ian.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yes it is now, yes.
Now, would that be deemed as a bad attitude for questioning or highlighting the fact that you've, got the time of day wrong?
Well, your attitude is an expression of you, and there's no good or bad. If you have a bad attitude, then that's down to you, and people leave you alone and go somewhere else. So, I mean, it's all about you, not about anybody else.
Okay, so the show today is all about attitudes.
Yes.
And, you know, it's something that you've studied for a while?
For about 30 years.
I mean, I would imagine that we've all, like, studied attitudes, but you've gone into great detail. But, I mean, we all look at people and cast aspersions and think, you know, I think you've got a bad attitude because you do things this way and because of the way you speak to people and so on and so forth. But you've gone into massive detail.
Well, I think most of my life I've been flying around the world, visiting dozens and dozens of countries and all continents. And you get on with people, whether they can speak English or not, purely by your attitude. If you have a bad attitude, people keep away. People don't want to be shouted at, they don't want to be abused, they don't want to be rejected, they don't want anything negative, so they keep away. It's easier, it's safer, and everything else that goes with it. So if you have a bad attitude, fine. You know, that's down to you. It's not down to anybody else. It's not a problem for me. I just keep well away. Because there are millions of people I can go to who have actually a good attitude. And why should I stick with somebody who hasn't? I'm not here to change the world and neither is anybody else. So what you represent is a culmination of how you think, how you feel, what you say, how you think the world is. And this comes out in your attitude. Some people are always happy, regardless of what happens, whether they're ill or their finances are bad or relationships are bad, they can still smile. Other people are always grumpy. There's always a problem. It's never theirs, of course. It's always somebody else's. There's always a problem. It's them. It's theirs. It's this. It's that. And whatever. And they make these. So, I mean, these are the negative people you keep well away from.
How do you know what's a bad attitude?
Well, a bad attitude is when you feel it. And it's a general thing because most people, even if they're sort of slightly sort of reticent and they're not very avant-garde, they can have a nice attitude. They smile. It's a positive attitude. They don't look at you and stare with sort of a melancholic face. They say something good and you pick it up. And it could be somebody you ask in the street, and well, the directions or where a building is or something. And they say, oh, yes, it's just down there on the left. Or, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know. As well, I don't know, mate. You know, and that's a bad attitude. There's no need for that. This is a reflection of you, where you're coming from. And so you move on.
When somebody says that, because I say, one of the things that I've had to be, not careful of, but made aware of in the last couple of years since we set Vectis Radio up in 2010. We were doing the sort of spade work for it for the first sort of 6 months of 2009. So, you know, we've been going for sort of 6.5, 7 years and putting it all together. And the one thing, where I used to work, I used to go in, do my show, clear off home.
Yeah.
And I never used to get involved in people's arguments or attitudes or anything like that. But the one thing I've noticed over the last X amount of years is you have to pay more attention to people that are and can behave differently. So that attitude that you've just said about, you know, oh, I don't know, mate, I don't know where that is. You know, there was an element of a little while ago, I'd think, oh, you're just being bullshy.
Yes.
But now I look at it and I think, hey, they might have, I don't know, autism, Asperger's or something else, that's the way that they communicate and they don't necessarily know that they're being bullshy or have a bad attitude. So how do you counteract that?
Well, there are two things here. You can't go around pleasing everybody all the time. there's another thing, you're not a universal social worker. And the, another thing is, whether these people have a problem or not, that is not down to you. It's not you being arrogant or nasty or cold or superficial or anything like that. Even when people have certain problems, you can tell in their attitude, I mean totally, their body language, what they say, what they do. They may be blunt, but being blunt doesn't necessarily mean you've got a bad attitude, it just means you're blunt. But some people just never help at all. They just don't, regardless of what they do, what they say. You can have a blunt attitude and still help somebody really well. You can have a blunt attitude and you can be a very caring person. It's just your delivery, but it's what's behind the delivery, and how you present yourself, even what you wear. And you don't have to wear some designer clothes or anything. You can wear cheap stuff, it doesn't matter. It's how you present yourself, your body language, how it all comes together, and how that other person picks it up. And put it in another way, you are not responsible for anybody else's emotions, full stop. Providing you don't go out to be rude or nasty, other people's emotions are for them to get to understand. They are for them to actually come to terms with. And some people don't want to because they still have this attitude thing. You know, why should I? Why should I do what they do? Why? I'm not doing them. Look what they're doing. I don't care. Fine. That's fine. Just be like that. Next. And because you have a life. Your life isn't going round sort of wondering what other people are doing or whatever. And as you rightly say, some people may be misjudged by their attitude because of certain circumstances. But by the same token, there are ways and means of people understanding that as well. So you've got to do the best for yourself. Otherwise, you never actually move forward. You're always treading water. You're always making excuses for other people. You're always making excuses why you shouldn't, why you can't. Well, it may be them. They may have this. They may have that. And therefore, you're getting actually bogged down in a situation which is none of your business.
Okay, I mean, there's a lot to take on board there. Isn't being a human being complicated these days?
It used to be. Well, it is today. It never used to be when people accepted you at face value and went on. But today, everybody has a problem and it's yours. But, you know, you don't have to accept that. I mean, you actually have a life. You're entitled to your life. You're entitled to live your life the way you want to live it, good, bad or indifferent. It's not down to other people's understanding. It's not you're not at the end of somebody else's opinion. You're not at the other end of most people's expectation. Because who are these people to judge you? They're certainly not perfect themselves, that's for sure. And so you've got to do what you want to do. Because if you don't do what you want to do, nobody else is.
Okay, fascinating. Could I ask roughly how old are you, John?
63.
You don't sound 63. You sound a lot younger than that.
It's probably the tablets.
It's probably a good attitude as well.
Well, something like that.
But I find it fascinating because I know I hear this all the time. You know, from people of a certain age, they'll say that, oh, young people, they got a bad attitude, they got the wrong attitude, and so on and so forth. And I'm sort of pig in the middle because I'm 50 and I count myself as quite a young 50.
Yes.
And then when you hear, you know, young people talking about elderly people and you know, there's disrespect there and there's both sides, I think to myself, hang on a minute, if you were to understand each other's attitudes and where you were, there wouldn't be all the issues in this world. Now, Raphael is only 16.
Yeah.
So, you know, one would probably say that, oh, because most young people, they've got a really bad attitude. Is that something that you hear, Raphael? And it just, I don't know whether you, because we've got it set up in the studio, hopefully, fingers crossed, you can hear Raphael as well, John. So, have you got a good attitude or a bad one?
I wouldn't say it's good. I wouldn't say it's particularly bad either. I have my views on people and I try to keep them to myself, so I'll see someone walking down the road and I'll be like, oh dear, but I won't express that in a way that they can recognize it. I'll go and I'll just leave it as it is. I'll try to stay out of most things because I think that's the best way forward.
Okay, but then John, you probably wouldn't say, you know, staying out is the best way forward, would you, Johnny? If you've got something to say, you should say it.
I think there's two things here as well. You know, if you need to say something, then say it. I absolutely detest political correctness because it means that some idiot somewhere has said you can't say something, and that idiot has no volition or credibility to do that. They've taken it on themselves. Most people who are politically correct are needy people. They want sort of some kind of comfort or some kind of credibility or, you know, acceptance from other people. That's why they're politically correct. You should say exactly, because if you don't say what you want, how is anybody going to know? People are not clairvoyant. They don't go around mind reading. Oh, I know what he wants, I know what she wants. They don't. So you've got to say it. It doesn't matter if it's wrong. At least you've said it. You feel better yourself. But I think if you have an opinion of somebody, unless there's a need to say anything, then keep it to yourself. Because once you start saying, oh, look at her, gosh, what she, look at him, look what he's got, you know, and all these kind of things, you're lowering yourself. And you should never forget, the moment you open your mouth and make a comment, you are telling other people exactly about you.
Yeah, I've got to see now we go to the other end of the scale, because we've got Dame Shirley in the building, who's 72, and you've just described Dame Shirley, because she has got a comment for everyone, haven't you, Dame Shirley?
Yes, but it's a nice comment.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I'm never nasty to people.
You do say some horrible things about people.
No, I don't. I don't, Ian.
You do, Dame Shirley.
I don't, John.
No, okay.
now she's got all politically correct now, and that's the issue.
I don't. I think I'm pretty easygoing. I don't run the teenagers down.
Well, I must admit, you are one of those people, because you're a born-again teenager yourself. I mean,
yeah.
one of the most irritating things ever is when people are judgmental, you know, especially with youngsters. Oh, is they don't do this, they don't do that. Yes, there is an element of, and you probably come across this as well, John, do you have any grandchildren?
No, I don't.
You don't? No. Where, you know, maybe certain people of a certain age think that the world owes them something. Now, that is something that really grates.
Oh, that annoys me.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel young inside, and I'm all for the youngsters, you know? I mean, I've got grandchildren, and I'm down with them, sort of thing. I'm not critical about what they do.
When you say you're down with them...
Well, I should have said that. But, I mean, if they go out and get drunk or something, I don't have a go at them, because it's all part of growing up.
Because you were young once.
Because I was young once, that's
you've
right.
You've not forgotten that.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's a good...
It's very good. It's excellent.
That's a good attitude to
have,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, here we are. We're talking about attitudes, and we're going to cover so many different things. But, I mean, what's your biggest bugbear with, you know, young people?
My biggest bugbear with young people, I think they're not as worldly as they think they are. They're quite often media driven, you know, they're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever, and all I hear are them repeating statements from Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and I think, you know, have you got a brain, or are you just a puppet, you know, or a parrot repeating what somebody else has said? The cool phrase, the cool jeans, the cool trainers, the cool this. Yeah, right, like, okay, fine, super. You know, what have you said in these the few minutes you've been talking to me? Not a lot. And I like people who are original, creative. Not everybody probably can be. You get people in life who are followers and, you know, the sheep, and you get people who are leaders. And there are bits in between, and everybody's entitled to be any of those or whatever they want to be. But I do like original conversation. You know, something which comes from you and not comes from what you've picked up and you think it's smart to say. And that's probably the only comment. The rest is you'll find out as the rest of your life as you go on. And that's the best sort of learning you can get.
Okay. It is a fascinating subject. It really is. So have you written a book on it? Have you got a whole book available?
I have six.
that's a healthy attitude you got there.
Yeah, and I'm on my eighth now. I've done
Good
writing
grief.
Two together.
Hang on, what happened to seven?
well, I'm writing seven and eight.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Together, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that, sorry.
Yeah.
It was Raphael laughing through my headphones, and I couldn't hear it. Bad attitude. So I think, how do we counteract? Just say, for instance, how do we know? Just say, for instance, Dame Shirley, as we've already pointed out, has got a really bad attitude because she will run people down and mention them, you know, mention their faults. I'll be honest, every week she tells me about my jowls, you know, and I think, well, that's a really bad attitude.
No, but that's true, though.
But how do we change How do we realise when we've got a bad attitude? When do we realise that we've got one? What do we do to counteract it?
You know, I can joke with you.
Sure, yeah, no.
You know?
But
I wouldn't
hurts.
Say that to anybody. It does not. It does not.
How do we counteract it? How does Dame Shirley know that she's, you know, hang on a minute, I've got a bad attitude here. That's wrong. How can I improve it?
Well, I think people who have a bad attitude, I mean, really have a bad attitude, never ever know. You can hear in what they say, because they actually qualify what they say. You know, if people argue with you, and they say, I know all about this, I know this, they're qualifying what they think they know in order to make you feel lesser of a person or to make them feel better. This is probably to do with a lack of self-esteem. And when people also have a bad attitude, they normally tend to speak rather loudly and rather forcefully, because as if it's a statement and this is them and this makes them feel good. Again, it's probably a lack of self-esteem, a lack of their own being. And normally people who are sort of have a bad attitude are slightly ignorant more than being intelligent, because intelligent people listen, ignorant people talk a lot. And so, because intelligent people want to learn, ignorant people want to tell you all about it, whether it's right or wrong. So there is a big difference there, and you can normally judge when people say things where they're coming from. It doesn't mean if you talk a lot that you're not intelligent, but it's the right place at the right time. And you don't make superficial comments for the sake of it, because to you it's immaterial. But to somebody who has an attitude, they have to do it to give themselves credibility, because it's a lack within them.
Do you know what's really... I wish you could have seen this, John. I really do. While you were saying...
You're gonna go with me now.
What I was witnessing when you were saying... When you started saying about the reason why people are... And they have a bad attitude and they do say these things, is Dame Shirley, across the desk at me, is like doing some kind of thing with her hands to point at my jowls. and just as you're saying what you're saying, it's highlighted that that's exactly what she's all about.
No, but this is the way I say it to you, Ian. You know that I'm joking with you. I wouldn't say it to anybody seriously.
It's a fascinating subject, it really is. And, you know, I think we've just hit the nail on the head with you, Dame Shirley. I think you should take a long, hard look at yourself. You don't see her making a face, oh, you got jowls. And you're saying what you're saying. All it's doing is it's enhancing what the problem is. So now we've established that Dame Shirley has the problem, how can we help her?
John, take no notice of him.
No, I know what you're saying, Dame Shirley, yes. I think one of the things is it's difficult to help somebody who has an attitude problem. They've got to find themselves. Because one of the things you can understand about them is that they have few friends. I'm sure, Dame Shirley, you've got thousands of friends. But they have few friends and they put out that everybody is wrong, because they're never wrong, they can't be wrong, you know, it's this attitude thing again. And so you hear, in a very short space of time, talking to somebody who has a bad attitude, maybe within a minute, the first minute of their conversation, you can understand where they're coming from, because it's the same conversation, time in, time out, same thing, same, it's just a slightly different context, but it's exactly the same thing, reiterated in a different way. And that's all they do. The thing is also, I mean, there's something really quite interesting here. When you talk, you actually listen to yourself. And that's quite interesting, because negative people say negative things because that's all they hear themselves say. Because so they go in this loop, this endless loop of negativity. And all this moaning. Positive people, entrepreneurs, always say good things. And by doing so, they actually boost themselves up and make themselves feel really good. And of course, when you boost yourself up, you see the solutions. You see the exit sign. You see opportunities. When you're negative, you're always focusing on the problem and never the solution. So therefore, you're always going to be putting yourself down. You're always going to be below par. And negative people are always below par. And there's also a technical thing here. If you are negative, your immune system goes down between 10 and 15%. not enough to make you ill, but to cause sort of scratching and itching and twitching and all the time, and all these kind of things. It's psychosomatic. And the moment you actually start to feel better, they all go. You could go to your doctor and say, oh, I've got this itch and this scratch, and do blood tests and things. So, well, basically, you're all right, because it all comes from your mind. Positive people get over things better. They're more accepted. And people help positive people far more because they're getting this reciprocity of help and this camaraderie of warmth and humanity, where you don't get that from people who are arrogant or their attitude is bad, because there's just nothing there for you. You know you're not going to get anywhere because they're not going to allow you. They don't want to be taken off their pedestal. So it's got to hit them home, hit them hard, you know, that way for them to change. Otherwise, if you talk to them and said, listen, you've got a bad attitude, oh, off they go again, telling you all about you and your faults and your failings and how dare you and how should you and how could you and all this business. It's rubbish. So just let them find out themselves.
Now, some people might, all of that stuff you just said there, Shirley's having a, you know, she's I think she's feeling a little bit uncomfortable now.
She's on the Valium again.
Have you just described short people?
I've described everybody who falls into that category.
Right, okay.
You're short, Ian.
Because, no, I'm not short. I'm average height. I'm about 5'9", which is average. If you're about 5'5", that's kind of short.
All right.
And I've noticed, you're not short, are you, John?
No, I'm 6'4".
See, I didn't think you were, but Shirley's quite short. And I think, is it short man or short woman syndrome?
No.
Is it a similar thing?
Maybe. I think attitude is what you think. So I don't think it's whether you're tall or short or thin or fat or black or white or anything in between. It all comes out of your mind. It doesn't come from anywhere else because of. There is none of this because of. Because of doesn't exist. Because of is what you create. Because of is the way things are. You cannot change them. If you're tall, short or black or white, you can't change that. You can if you're fat, but if you're not, you can't change it. So because of is something which you've decided in your own mind, that is the reason you're going to hide behind, and therefore. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. It's the same for everybody else. How you present yourself is down to where it comes from, and that is your mind. Nobody ever lives in your mind but you. So you can't blame anybody else. Nobody can access your mind. They can tell you. They can do whatever you want. They can give you drugs. They still can't get into your mind. It is there. It's yours till your dying day. So it's entirely up to you to make the very best of it. If you don't make the best of it, that's fine, because that's your life. It's not mine. It's not anybody else's. You must move forward and change your attitude if you want to make. And you find successful people, they may be a bit arrogant because they've got to a degree of success, and they may feel a bit egotistical because that's come to the fore. Nevertheless, on the route getting where they were, and they may be hard people as well because they may have to have been like that to make things work. Otherwise, people just don't do things. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, your attitude tells everything, and that's your success.
Would it be fair to say that if you've worked out how your mind actually works in that way, you've probably cracked it, haven't you?
I think you're a long way forward, because I do lectures and I do talks, and sometimes in the meaning of, and it's all about dealing with your emotions, how you deal with your emotions. And people say stupid things, you know, like suddenly your washing machine breaks down and pumps 5,000 gallons of water in your kitchen. Well, it's not very nice. But then they say, of all the times for this to happen, as if to say, well, you know, why can't I have it pumping 5,000 gallons of water in my kitchen next week? I mean, when do you want these things to happen? You know, this is stupidity. Just deal with it. Or the worst thing is, something happens. You've pranked the car or whatever. You come home, and what do? The first thing, you don't phone the insurance company. You phone all your friends and tell them. And you're giving whatever your problem is gravitas. You're giving it arms and legs. And then you create in your mind a little gremlin. This created fictitious character who you now talk with about your washing machine and what you've had to do, or your car, or whatever it may be, or world events, or whatever it is, and therefore you're now living the way you should. You've actually created this, and this is your own doing. Nobody else has done this. You can only talk to that little voice in your mind. Nobody else can talk to it. And therefore, you also put yourself down by doing that. And this is an attitudinal thing as well, because you put out this attitude because you've now changed your character slightly. Because you're talking to this little the gremlin you've created, and you're putting this attitude, which is now an increased attitude, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, out in what you say, because what you say is based on how you think and feel at this moment in time, nothing more.
Okay, do you know what, this is such an interesting session, and you know, I'm looking at Dame Shirley and I'm thinking I would, you know, I think you ought to charge. You ought to charge her for this session. I really do.
Are you a counsellor, John?
No, I'm not mental.
I didn't mean that.
No.
So you're not a counsellor?
No, I'm not a counsellor.
When did you realise that, you know, what you just said there, in your mind, if you change the things in your mind, because that's basically where we are, isn't it? It's you know, I know the guy on the TV that does he's crikey, what's his name? He's got the Mind Palace, and we all think, what a wonderful thing to have a Mind Palace.
But Sherlock.
But we've all got one, Sherlock, yeah. You're absolutely right. We've all got one. It's just a case of most of us probably never unlock our mind palace, do we? And I mean, half the stuff you're saying now, if we were to go in and search in our brain somewhere, in our psyche somewhere, we would find the answers, but we don't, because we're probably a little bit scared to, are we?
We are. If you look at what's out in the public, what's out in the books and everything else, How to Be a Millionaire Overnight, I came from rags to riches, I was beaten up, I was abused, and now I'm a billionaire. How to Make a Million, How to Be Successful, How to Be This, How to Be That. And why do people buy them? Because they think there's a shortcut. Because they think out there is somebody who has all the answers. They think out there, if only they could find that little clue, if only they could find that chap who's got those few wise words of wisdom, everything's going to be fine. Life's going to be beautiful. I'm going to get more money. I'm going to get all the girls. I'm going to get all the cars. I'm going to get everything. Anything I want, it doesn't matter, I will get. And of course, it's fantasy. It's good reading. I don't say what they don't put down there is not correct. But there's also something in life which happens every day. It's called the timeline. And it could be that I've done exceptionally well and been around the world and made millions and billions, and I've got Bentleys and Maseratis out in my car in the garage, and Raphael is starting out in life. So he reads my book. Will it work? Possibly not. Because what is happening then, there, with Raphael, that time, how he thinks, with his people, in those circumstances, is not the same as what had happened with me. Even if that was last week, time moves on. And you may be running a parallel course, but it doesn't give any ability to success or anything. And so many people, when I do all these lectures, are looking like goldfish. Yes, waiting for those words of wisdom. And I often say, you know, if you're looking for that person to change your life, when you go home, just look in the mirror, because nobody else can do it but you.
Yeah, no, that's what's that? Is that someone's phone going off? Sorry, that's a really bad attitude you got there, Dame Shirley. She's got her phone going off, okay, for some reason.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I should think so too. Now, I just want to say that now we've spoken about Raphael. Now Raphael's 16, and I've only spent probably about 2 hours in his company.
Yes.
And he seems to be, and this is just me, just speaking to him about certain things. He seems to be more grown up than most 16-year-olds.
Oh.
Okay, that's the way it comes across.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
very posh as well. He's got a posh. I'm guessing you live in Northwood, so and just so you know, John, Northwood on the island is quite a posh place to live.
Okay,
you know, yeah. so you, my attitude towards you has slightly changed because you're not the normal 16-year-old that comes in. Yes, okay, we know about the boundaries. We don't talk about certain things. We don't swear and we don't do certain things. You know, because you're only 16. But I look at it and I think, well, you seem to be a lot more grown up than most 16-year-olds.
He's very mature for 16.
Yeah, he does. He just come across that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether you're getting this as well, John.
Well, I thought so when he was talking earlier on, But, you know, it does make a difference from where you come from in life. I mean, it's not the be and end all, because, you know, a lot of people in industry today came from nothing, and they're sort of heads of industry. They've worked their way up. Again, it's down to your attitude. But normally, sort of, the better your parents, the more positive you are, and the worse your parents, they put you down. Oh, they're with people, those, them, yeah. You won't, you can't, yeah. You shouldn't. Whereas the more sort of professional parents say, yes, you can, go on, try it, fine, it's okay. If you fail, it doesn't matter. It's a step towards the right direction. Whereas if you get sort of bad parents, oh, you failed, oh, what do you want to try that again for? You failed once. You know, who was it? Was it Graham Bell, when he was asked if he had any failures? And he said, "What? I know 10,000 ways of things not working." But, you know, some scientists, they fail every day of their life for years on end, trying to find a cure, something which is positive. But they do eventually, and en route, they find other things. So failure is the perfect bedfellow to success. Without failure, there's no success, because you have to learn, and it's this learning that gives you the ability to excel. But it depends, again, from where you come from. And, you know, in your teens, you have a mind of your own, well, hopefully, anyway, and you can think, okay, well, I'm going to go this way, I'm not going to go the way of my parents, fine. You know, do what you want, because this is your life, it's not theirs, you're not part of their expectation. Even if they think you are, you're not. And so you've got to do what you need to do. But it is true. I mean, no, and so if he's got sort of fairly positive parents, even if he's a bit of a rebel, that's the way to go, because that he has a better start.
Okay, let's put that to the test. You've heard what John said. Yeah. Now, you know, do you get encouragement from your parents?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, they forced me to do a lot of stuff, which, when I was doing them, I'm like, oh no, this is hideous. And now I'm 16, I'm like, okay, that was pretty useful. And I don't want to thank them for it, because it pained me a lot to do these things, but I'm like, I am grateful for it.
Whoa, hang on a minute, you don't want to thank them for it?
No, not really.
That's a bad attitude in itself, isn't it, John?
Okay, I'm happy with that one. I can live with that bad attitude.
Honestly, that's what gets youngsters a bad name. Hey, look, you were right, but I'm not telling you you're right.
They were right in the long run, but for those weeks that I had to do, like, UKSA or something, they were, like, some of the worst weeks of my life, but...
Yeah, but you've gone through that, and that's made you what you are today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is he wrong for not, or does he need to, you know, unlock this mind palace and go, this is a problem in your own head? Okay, we're talking about, okay, maybe it's my problem now, and that's wrong, but I look at it and think, hang on a minute, your parents have stood you in good stead, they've got you to do this, but you can't be bothered to turn around and say thank you. That's almost as bad as, put that sock in the wash bin, young man. You know, I'm not picking it up after you. Oh, why should I have to do that? You know, that it smacks of that, John, don't you think?
Well, there is a little bit. I think there's also something about a call growing up. Obviously, Raphael's parents love him. So if he never thanks them ever, it's not going to change their attitude towards him. So there we are. I think what happens is, when you're going through a transition in life, and when you're sort of relatively young, and of course there's more technology today to come into contact with and everything else, you do what you have to do. It's when you get a bit older, you realise where you've actually been, what you've actually done, and you look at your peers and think, well, maybe, just maybe, I've done a bit more than they have, because I was pushed or forced into doing it. And so in the transitory areas of life, we're sometimes not quite as grateful as we think we, well, maybe we ought to have been. But it will level out. And as I say, Raphael's parents love him. Obviously, I can tell that in the way he's talking. So, you know, just go on. It'll change.
But I'll be honest with you, Raphael. I know I've had conversations with my son over the last few years, and one of them very recently in the last 6 months, I've said, look, sometimes, a bit of what John was saying earlier on, sometimes we are quick to steam in and have a go at somebody, when sometimes we should stand well back and have a good look at the whole situation, and then you can make a better decision. And he actually I said that to him at Christmas time, and he actually said to me yesterday that you were absolutely right. I've dealt with the issue in hand, and you were absolutely right, Dad, to do that. So thank you. Mm. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
If he hadn't have said anything, he can acknowledge it in a kind of a way that, oh, I don't have to acknowledge it, but yeah, okay, you might have been right. You know, that to me wouldn't go very far with me. So I'm just everybody's attitude is going to be different. So maybe, you know, those things that your mum and dad got you to do because they thought it was good for you, and you saying, well, I ain't thanking you because, you know, it was painful for a time, I can see why you did it. Maybe, you know, you should man up at some point and say, look, okay, you were right. And, you know, because it does, being on the other end of it, when you hear that, that's a lovely feeling. Yes, we continue to love our children the same way, and we don't look down on them, but that means a lot. You know, and it's like forging a, you know, an even stronger bond, an even stronger relationship. Otherwise, it's all one way, isn't it? And that's a really bad attitude to have when it's all one way. So I think you should go home today, and I think you should say, hey, look, I didn't like what you put me through, but I can see the benefits of it, and thank you. You know, that's what we should do. And we never do that enough, do we, John?
I don't think so. I mean, my parents, when I was young, were very, very supportive, but I was, say, a rebel at least. I wasn't the nicest of people on the planet. but nevertheless, I've always encouraged them to do exactly what I wanted to do, and they were giving me suggestions, and I was saying, no, I can't do that. That's rubbish. I don't want that. Mainly because I had a vision of my life which they couldn't quite understand. And they knew that. And they were giving me suggestions. I mean, this is going back, you know, 8,000 million years. But, you know, they just couldn't, and they knew that they couldn't understand because I just thought slightly differently. But the love was still there. The camaraderie was still there. I still went, you know, when I left home, I still was in contact. I still saw them often. All these kind of things. My mum died, 3 months ago at the age of 93, and she was still out and about every day, shopping, dining with the girls, you name it, everything, you know. And her attitude was, you know, okay, next. If anything went wrong, it was, all right, it's gone wrong. And she'd smile and say, okay, next. And I keep that attitude. And my father was exactly the same. He had his own business, but he had exactly the same. And I think it's just, it is an attitude. You just do things. You come into your own. And sometimes, even with your nearest and dearest, it's a cyclic thing. And the cycles come in their own level, providing the background is still there, that sort of love, the camaraderie, you know, the oneness which you have. It will all come out right in the end, because there's no reason why it shouldn't.
Okay, look, we are going to take a quick break. Do you want to give us a call back in about 4 minutes' time?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, that would be brilliant. Because I said we just need to clear the line for a moment, and it all become clear at 1 o'clock today. But we'll speak again. If you give us a call back in 4 minutes' time, that would be great.
Lovely.
Thanks for being there, John.
Okay, righto, thank you.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240. Across the Isle of Wight and across the world, this is Vectis Radio.
The Key Arts is offering another fantastic free waves workshop during the half-term holidays. Painterly Prince on Thursday the 18th of February is for young people aged 11 to 19 years from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. with Joanna Corey, where you will explore mono printing to create your own painterly prints. To book your place, contact Key Arts box office on 822 940. Waves is Key Arts youth offer funded by the Isle of Wight Council and available to young people resident to the Isle of Wight.
Tense. Nervous headache. Life just bringing you down.
You know what you need? Tetravion, the debut album, All Out Tomorrows. Available over the counter, no prescription needed. HMV, Amazon, iTunes, all your favourite record stores.
And if you want a t-shirt or a signed copy, go to churchofeon.com. Can't you feel it?
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, photos and much more, covering Ireland bands to established acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give their unique view on the music world, as well as music reviews from Fretbuzz. They now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels to advertising and pictures on the site. Fretbuzz caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call them on 07576 138337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find them on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
Beds of Ride, in-town parking in Union Street. Come and give your bedroom an overhaul and treat. No need for sales gimmicks, just value for your pound, with realistic prices all the year round. Includes free delivery if you live in Ryde, and only £10 elsewhere, island-wide. Open 10:30 till late, 6 days a week. All that is needed to help you sleep. Beds of Ryde, call 565 151. Also find us on Facebook.
Lifeline Alarms and Security Services, providing security and alarm services for the leisure industry, domestic and residential, and more. Providing access control emergency systems, key holding, installation, monitoring intruder alarms, and much, much more. Check them out at www.lifeline-security.co.uk. Put your mind at rest. Call Lifeline Alarms and Security Services on 01983 521 621. That's 01983 521 621. Lifeline. They put you first.
The loss of a loved one through bereavement is one of the hardest and most painful things we have to go through in life. It's a great help and comfort when someone can sit down with you and talk you through the kind of service you would like to mark the passing of your friend or relative, and then on the day deliver a warm and positive ceremony with his or her life at the heart of it all. My name's Jonathan Skeet, and I'm an independent funeral celebrant. For an informal chat with no obligation whatsoever about how I can help you in this crisis moment, call me on 01983 868607. That's 01983 868607. Or ask your funeral director. The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cowes to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Hi, Brandon Langdon here. You may not know, but my show has extended. No, not later on, but earlier. I must be doing something right. So no more waffles, but instead, more chat. News, top threes, factoids, talking health, life and tech. 4 till 7, The Tea Time Show. Weekdays, bar Friday, right here at Vectus Radio.
Stay social and get in touch.
It's /Vectus Radio on Facebook. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Here we are then, we're back with Attitudes Part 2 with John Rushton on the line. Are you there, John?
Yeah, fine here.
We're having a fascinating time. It's a real eye-opener, and there's lots of things that I want to ask you, and there's a couple of comments that people have made. How much of Facebook and Twitter, when we look at attitudes, and obviously when we're sending emails, and, you know, because it's not just... When you think you can talk to somebody face to face that can have an attitude that you may not get along with, But it must be even worse when you're actually having to deal with somebody that sends an email that even is less better at communicating.
You find a lot of people communicate on the social media because you can't see them, so they don't feel threatened. And there's also spell check on these, so you get less sort of spelling problems than you would normally. But when you go on there, you get people say peculiar things. People say smart things. And I'm on Instagram as well and various things like that. And people come out with the most, you know, how to, showing flashy cars, flashy clothes. And you find the people behind them haven't got 10 pence in their pocket. And this is an attitude thing that, again, they're putting out, that this is smart. It's not smart at all. You know, what are you trying to say? You want to be like this? Well, okay, fine, but what are you doing about it? Of course, the answer is zilch. By saying that, it makes them feel good. And, of course, they're fooling themselves. And a lot of people on social media, I mean, you people give really good comments as well, or people can join forces and say, yes, I agree with that, I agree. Fine. But a lot of other people just say comments for the sake of it, and they say it from the comfort of their own homes. And I did a slightly sort of adjunct to this, I did for a major international company a report on internet dating a few years ago, which was just a mind-blowing thing. I mean, it was just amazing, and they were absolutely over the moon with it when it was presented. But it's the same with social media. People are not always as genuine as you think they are.
Okay, I mean, there's a couple of comments here. I mean, what I find interesting is because we live in a world that is now changing dramatically, and it's only kind of probably in the last few years that, I don't know, some people that they really take note of what is going on around them with the way things are with Facebook and Twitter and so on. And you then realise that there are so many people out there that have some kind of issue, some kind of problem. How is that? Is it a good thing in your case where it highlights the problem quicker, so you may be able to fix people, or is it just something that can never be fixed? That's just the way they are.
Well, society has changed, and we've, you know, I mentioned again this political correct thing. Now, for example, just for the sake of it, I have an argument with you on the phone.
Yeah,
I'm just being devil's advocate here. You know. You don't like it, or I don't like what you said. So put it this way, I don't like what you said. So instead of not liking what you said and moving on, oh, I'm not going to rest here. Now, what do? I go into my wallet and I get my ageist card, my sexist card, my racist card, my victim card, and these thick, stupid, moronic peasants are fighting behind these cards because they haven't got the brain power themselves to actually understand that life is not about them. Nobody cares whether they live or die. You know, this is, and people are wanting to get jobs. I was turned down because I was too young, too old, too fat, too tall, too short, too black, too white, whatever. Not because you're a useless idiot and you can't do the job. That doesn't even come into it. This is all about you wanting to get your own way for the sake of getting it. And, you know, if people are like that, you don't trust them from the word go, because they're deceitful. They can't understand, they can't accept, they can't move forward. And you don't want anybody like that in your company, because they're going to be objectionable. They're not going to work well with other people, because there's always going to be a problem. Anything they don't like, there's going to be they said this to me. Guess what? I know they're racist. Oh, they're sexist. Oh, they're ageist. Just because they're younger, just because they're older. You know, it's all this. And there's an awful lot of that out there. And you need to ignore these people, because they are not worth actually talking to. Because this is all about them. Life is all about them. And granted, life is about you, because if it isn't about you, who is it about? Because you're the only one who could do anything. But when it comes to a point of view about your credentials in life, and you're not getting what you want, then there's a reason why you're not getting what you want. It's because nobody wants to know. And so making excuses as to why you need to get it for the sake of it is all about a negative aspect, and you don't need to fight with people. And that is quite prevalent on social media.
Okay, something on social media is a message from Sean Matthews. Now, we know Sean because he's been in at Vectis Radio before, and I was one of those people that looked at him and thought, because he's got a beard, he might be a bit weird. And you haven't got a beard, John, have you?
I've got a goatee.
All right. See, my opinion changed of beards a good while ago when I tried to grow one of my own, and you know, but it's almost like, why do we do that? Why do we look at people and say, oh, he's got a beard, he might be a bit weird? He did have a wicked sense of humour.
Yeah.
And he's just put something on Facebook that says, people criticise or people confuse attitude with personality.
Yeah.
My personality is who I am, my attitude depends on who you are. That's very profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
You don't agree though, John, do you? He's wound you up.
To a large extent, I do agree. But, you know, my attitude doesn't depend on who you are. My attitude is going to be exactly the same whether you're good, bad or indifferent.
Right.
Because otherwise I'm going to turn into a chameleon. And I'm not going to be a chameleon. I am going to be me. And that's it. Because if you turn into a chameleon, you know, I am one person to you, one person to Dame Shirley, one person to Raphael. Who on earth am I?
Well, that's a good question, John. Can I ask you, when did you become you? When did you suddenly flip the switch and say, right, this is who I am? When did it happen?
When I was very, very young. I would never do what anybody wanted unless I wanted to do it. I was an objectionable sod. and not the most fabulous, loving person I am now. But, you know, it's taken 4,000 years to get there. But... By the same time, I think you've got to stand your ground in life. I mean, some people will do that and get it totally wrong, but they will learn. And because they will learn, they will get it completely and utterly right. You've got to do something. You cannot be somebody else's expectation or thought, because you know really deep in your mind, and we're going back to what we spoke about earlier on, you know really what makes you tick, what your secret desires are, what your secret loves are, what your secret wishes are, what you really dislike, what you really... You know, things you never tell people. And those are the things you need to allow to come out, because that is what is going to make you successful. Because you are going to excel when you engage those and not suppress them. And I think so many young people are confused as to what they can or cannot say, and people get annoyed. But, you know, they don't know any better. They can only know, you know, 15, 16, 18 years of experience. When you've had 40 years of experience, you know, you become a little bit more wiser. And I think you've got to allow people to get there, because when you do, they are the most fabulous people you can meet, because they are now at one with themselves, or as near as you can get, about life. And therefore, they can be positive, and they can give out far, far better things.
Dame Shirley wants to speak to you.
No, I'm just pointing it. It's me.
It's you?
Yes.
All those things that you just said.
Just described me.
Just described you.
Yeah.
Do you feel better now, Dame Shirley?
Yes.
That's good. That's a good thing. You've actually reached parts of Dame Shirley that no other man has reached, John.
Oh, don't give secrets away.
Penny says, live and let live, I say, but having met people with attitude throughout my life, they turn out to be quite insecure and wear a persona that they feel gives an impression of self-importance. No one is better than anyone else. Just seeing beyond that barrier can make a difference to first impressions. Mm. She's got it spot on, isn't she?
Yes, yeah. She has. Absolutely, yes.
So thank you for that, Dr. Penny. You've got it absolutely right. Now, John, you say you've got X amount of books. We're kind of running out of time. We've got about 2 minutes. And, just tell us where we can access your books.
On Amazon or Audible UK or my website. They're all there. And over 300 CDs.
Wow, 300 CDs as well.
On all aspects of life.
Okay, and you're on Audible as well?
Yes.
Okay, just give us a title that's on Audible, we can go and search.
Breaking Free, Love Your Life, those are the two come to mind straight away.
Okay, and is there a website that we can go and check out?
www.johnrushton.com.
Okay, and have you got any advice for Raphael?
Yes, just do what you want. It's not a selfish thing. Just do what you want, because if you don't, you're never going to do the right thing in life.
Okay.
And don't be frightened of making mistakes. If you make 50 mistakes in a row, fabulous, because the 51st, you'll be so successful, it'll be untrue.
Like William Bell. Or was it William Bell or Alexander Bell?
Yes, yes.
Graham Bell.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, look, it's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you, John.
It has.
Yeah.
And obviously this show is repeated again tonight at 10 o'clock, and it will be available to podcast as well from tomorrow morning. So feel free to slap it on your website.
I will, definitely, yes.
John, thanks for being here. Do you want to say goodbye to Dame Shirley and Raphael?
Yes, goodbye, Dame Shirley, pleasure.
Goodbye,
and Raphael,
John.
Likewise.
Bye, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, John. Take
okay.
care.
Thanks,
speak
Ian.
Speak
okay,
soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay then, so that was John Rushton, and had you bang on, Dame Shirley. And Raphael's going over to apologise to his parents now.
Yeah.
And
oh,
to say,
no, we just
you
had
were
a little,
right.
We had a little talk about
we
that,
did, yeah.
didn't
good.
We?
Good.
Yes.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there. Thank you, peeps. Stand by, Kevin's on the way. Unless you're listening to the repeat, he's not. He's tucked up in bed.
He's out there.
He
he's,
didn't
he's
do
here.
It, Governor.
This is Vectis Radio.